If you can kneel, please do so. We will start with prayer. Thank you, Lord, for precious promises that you place in your word. Thank you for the way you answer our prayers and let us know what you would have us do. Please open the doors to allow us to go forth and do those things, and thank you for closing the doors to prevent us from not doing those things. Please bridle my tongue today, Father, when I speak your truth that most people in this world either don't see or don't want to see. Please give me the words that will make it easier for me to explain all this that you've been showing most of us for decades, and it's just not easy to explain it sometimes. And thank you for blessing everyone here in attendance with an opportunity that after the showbread has changed, you send many people that need to hear the truth as you would have it proclaimed, the present truth. Thank you for forgiveness and cleansing and blessing us with the latter rain if we are so worthy. And again, we uplift all those on our prayer list that are in desperate need of salvation. And thank you for hearing this prayer and accepting it in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. When speaking of our day, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 to 4, "For the time will come when they will not endure or want anything to do with sound doctrine," if you want it in today's language. "But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables," or lies. You know, our Savior and King pointed out long ago how the power of lies can and will destroy the desire in the human race for the simple truth as it is in Christ. In fact, Do you remember when Jesus said in Luke 5:39 that no man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he say the old is better? In prophecy, we know the wine he is speaking of here is doctrine. So that's one of the beauties of studying prophecy and the symbols that are in there. It makes it easier to understand Bible verses. The old wine is the false doctrine that the world uses to intoxicate the people into a spiritual stupor so they won't have the ability to see the new wine, which is the truth as it is and has been given by the patriarchs and prophets of old, and even today, when the present truth is presented by us. I mean, how often do we as an obedient church see people who claim to be Christians roll their eyes, chuckle, and even cringe and get angry when we tell them about his never-changing truth in regards to his law or the prophecies of today, or even sin as it is defined in his word and openly ignored in the world? These Christians are drunk on the old wine, just as the Pharisees of old were. They can't contemplate the new wine any more than a wino who's high on alcohol is going to desire the refreshing benefits of new wine, or grape juice, as we call it today. And this is nothing new. As we saw 2,000 years ago when the Jewish leaders had no desire for the precious new wine that Jesus was offering them, we see the same people walking around today. And no, as I explained months ago in a sermon regarding the new wine at the wedding of Cana, wherein Jesus did his first miracle that illustrated his mission to preach truth, most never heard before, it wasn't really new doctrine at all. It was called new because it was new to them, thanks to the devil that made them drunk on the old wine of false doctrine for ages. They were raised to believe lies. Their generation never heard the new wine or the real truth. And so they thought what their teachers were teaching was the truth. And then they, like most today, forget the truth of God originally placed in the scriptures on day one. And yet they call themselves believers. Until they spiritually sobered up or emptied themselves of the old traditions of man and the doctrines of demons that the old wine intoxicated them with, they had no place in their heart for the teachings of Christ as he presented them. So they had to sober up first. And so, just as they ignored his truth 2,000 years ago when he came the first time, almost every Christian alive today does the same thing right now, right before he comes the second time. Everyone holds tight to the false doctrines their Christian friends or their pastors share because they explain these false doctrines in a way that, you know, kind of sounds good to them. Yeah, sure, that makes sense. Because of this, they cannot hear the living truth and receive the power of God. And this is why the church is so weak today. I mean, not many prayers are answered out there because they simply don't believe the truth. They only believe the lies. You know, just as this destroyed the lives of countless souls 2,000 years ago who trusted their religious leaders that taught them that day that when Jesus was coming around and they were pushing all these false doctrines, they claimed Jesus was not the Messiah. And they believed them because they were their leaders. But these same truths of Jesus today are an exact copy of his truths 2,000 years ago. And they are still declared to be error by the false preachers today. They call us fanatics or cults or Jesus freaks. I mean, this is why they prefer the bogus Bibles with all those verses missing. It makes their lies appear biblical sometimes. And so, as prophesied, nothing has changed. Like back then, most ignore the truth and just plain follow their leaders right off the edge of the cliff. And only a few will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, sadly, literally billions of people are going to burn in hellfire simply because they cannot give up some precious, minuscule idea that they heard from someone in passing that to them appeared as truth because they explain it so well to them. You know, it's easy to fabricate a lie, but a lot of people don't catch that. And then when the real truth finally comes to them, which shows them that they are in error, they get upset because they feel as if their comfort zone is about to be taken away from them. More often than not, they fight to keep their comfort intact and anything that threatens it will become a problem. And so, as prophesied in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, they will call evil good and good evil. They will put darkness for light and light for darkness, and they will put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I mean, look around. This is exactly what the world has become today. When speaking of today, Isaiah also said in Isaiah 30, verses 9 and 10, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. I mean, it's uncanny when you listen to these prophecies, how accurate this stuff is. It's just like, this is everyday life now. They will not hear the law of the Lord. And he goes on, he says, "Would say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things." In other words, don't rock my boat. I want to know that I'm, you know, I want to, in other words, these are the kind of people that hang out at Joel Osteen's or, what was that one woman that wears the pantsuits, Joyce Myers? Because they're motivational speakers. They're not preachers. So they say, "Speak unto us smooth things and prophesy deceits." I mean, it's amazing how accurate Christian prophecy can be. And by the way, a prophet doesn't just tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. He or she will also tell you what God's word means on this truth or that truth. It doesn't necessarily have to be about predicting things. You know, so many people think that's what the only job of a prophet. I mean, that's, I mean, look at Isaiah 8:20, how it's written, "To the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them." And that's a prophet saying that. Isaiah was a prophet. So now for a reality check. Have you noticed this? In America today, homosexuality is good. And calling it a sin has not only become evil, it has become illegal to preach exactly what the Bible says about it. Even though the Bible's thousands of years old, today it's a problem. But if you pick up an old book by Shakespeare, they don't have a problem with that. Alcohol is considered good now. And claiming it to defile the body, as the Bible says, is called evil by people that claim Jesus is Lord, no less. Oh, and by the way, all the churches say homosexuality is okay now, too. From the SDA church down to the Catholic church, they're all saying it now. Or what about men dressing as women and women dressing as men? That's now considered good. And real Christians who declare cross-dressing as a sin are now considered evil. No matter what the Bible says is evil, today it's now called good. Worse yet, even though the Bible says suicide is sinful and will guarantee hellfire for those that consciously commit it, because there's ways you can commit it not without even realizing it, thanks to the AMA, but the laws have been passed recently that declare a doctor can legally help you kill yourself, and so suicide is now called good and legal and no longer sinful. And that very same doctor can also help you kill your own baby if you so desire. That's how far the lies have gotten today. I recall saying to people 20 or 30 years ago that girls will be killing their babies to prevent stretch marks or the loss of a lover. And they all laughed and said, that would never happen. That's insane. Come on, you're talking crazy. I mean, bizarro world. And I can imagine they would also laugh back then if I said a doctor will legally be able to kill you if you asked him to, even if you weren't sick. Because those laws have been passed in some strange countries, too, now. You don't even have to be sick. You're just sick of living. Today, no one's laughing anymore. It's the norm now. And I can go on for hours and hours on this, but the reality in today's world has literally written that sermon for me. So moving along on this, we have the soul or the person that declares they cannot believe God would walk away from the disobedient Christian and allow Satan to have his way with them because God's a loving God. He would never do that. He understands I have problems in this area and that area. Yeah, he does. But he also knows that you're not even trying to stop the sin. And if they read their Bibles, they would know that the altar of burnt offering is the exact same height as the mercy seat. In other words, He's going to bless us in the exact same measure he chastises us. For it is also written in Ezekiel 18, verses 31 and 2, "Cast away from you all your transgressions." That's sin, for those of you that are new. So cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? And yes, we are Israel today. Have you seen the page on my site or my videos on that? Yeah. According to the Bible, those who believe in Christ are now considered Israel by the Father. Going on, Ezekiel says, for I have, well, he's quoting the Lord here, of course, he's a prophet. He says, for I have no pleasure in the death of them that dieth, or him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. You know, many people today believe that they are heaven bound simply because they claim Jesus is Lord and do good, a few good deeds, and they are generally good people. We were talking about this last night. They're the ones that are going to, you know, like that hellfire, where the Bible describes hellfire. Some people are actually just going to be a vapor. They're just going to just be gone. And then people like Hitler and Satan himself will burn a little longer, of course, but the majority of the people, that's the mercy of a loving God, no less. But still, they actually think that all they got to do is claim Jesus is Lord and do a few good deeds and they got heaven tapped. But James 2:19 says, the devils also believe and tremble. So according to them, Satan gets to go to heaven. Because Satan believes who Jesus is. He knows who he is. So just believing in Jesus doesn't mean you're going to make it to heaven. At all. Hitler believed. He went to church every Sunday. He went to every Catholic Mass every Sunday. Or what of John chapter 15, verse 22, wherein Jesus himself says, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for sin. In other words, if they were told something is a sin, and they ignore that warning, thinking God is too loving to charge them as a sinner, they no longer have a covering for that sin. They're making a conscious decision to continue to walk in that sin, even though they know it's sinful to do so. Thinking, oh, well, God's loving. This is not that big of a deal. When it is, your opinion doesn't matter. God's the one that wrote the Bible, and he wrote the stipulations as to how to get home. The lie doesn't matter. Only the truth does, and he's the one that has the truth. And sure, if they are truly ignorant, they would not be judged sinful. Yeah. The Lord's only going to judge you by the light you understand. So if you really don't know what's wrong to do it, well, then you're not going to hell for that. But many people claim to be ignorant to those around them, but God knows their hearts. And he knows they know they are doing the sin, but choose to do it anyway, thinking God won't punish them because he's just too loving. Brothers and sisters, we must never think that we can live our lives doing anything we please, yet be accepted by the very God that says those things we're doing are sinful. We can't. That's wrong. The gates of heaven will never open to such people as this. It says in Revelation 21, verses 7 and 8, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, that's right, the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, you know, the homosexuality is an abomination, right? So we know what that's talking about. Murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, and today a sorcerer, that's, you know, pharmacy. Idolaters, oh, that just runs the gamut there. Everything from a statue to a cigarette. And all liars, yeah, that's pretty blunt. All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's at the end of 1,000 years, by the way. I got a page on the website all about that if you want it. But there's quite a few sins listed here. But one that surprises most is that all liars will not gain heaven. I mean, that's right. Something as piddly as a little white lie will prevent salvation if left unconfessed, because sin is sin. There's no gray areas there. Rome has taught there are mortal and venial sins, so as to make people believe small sins, no big deal. I do them daily. Whoop-dee-doo. But small sins clearly mean you are not walking with Jesus. For if you were, he would be Lord, and his Holy Spirit would help you stop such things, or at the very least confess and repent of them when you're having a little bit of a struggle stopping. Because 1 John 1:9 applies to you too. We're all going to sin. We're all sinners. And so confess and repent, and he'll forgive you of all the sins that you committed, like you've never committed them. It'll be like you never did them. And he knows the struggles, especially when it comes to addictions and whatnot. But all too often, the religion of most is their own opinion of God. But yet, his Bible's been on the best-selling list ever since it was up, ever since they had lists. He's handing it to them on a silver platter, and if they don't read it, their opinion is all they have then. And that ain't getting you home. The basic reality here is this. When in history, you know, from the time of Adam and Eve to today, or even in the church itself, you know, like secular history or just the church itself, when has our opinion ever mattered? I mean, the basic reality is whatever God says in his word regarding how sin's defined and how his wrath is poured out is what truly matters, because that is simply how it is. I mean, after all, he is God. Christianity is based on his word, not ours. And John chapter 1, verse 14 says, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All those confused Christians that, they have the Christian friends or the wolves that they believe are pastors on the pulpits calling themselves strong Christians, cannot supersede God's word because he wrote it, and it is to be believed the way he wrote it, period. And so many people seem to think that, well, that's just your opinion how the Bible's written. And see, that's why we never give our own opinion. We teach the way Jesus taught. When people ask a Bible question, you give them another Bible verse. When you ask a Jesuit a Bible question about one verse, he'll give you a 3 or 4 volume book to try to explain that one verse, because his opinion has to flower it all up. We don't do that, though, here. You may not think your sin is that bad when you commit it, because the lies offered by your friends make it appear, no big deal, because everyone else says this sin or that sin is no big deal because everyone else is doing it. And you may think God won't burn you for it, but hellfire is just as real as his wrath. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I mean, the devil may make the lie appear to be fun and enticing, but the truth will always bless you even more so if you seek it. Remember when Jesus was in the desert being tempted after he was baptized? It says in Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 that the devil taketh him up unto an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And then said unto them, all these things are said unto him, all these things I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Can you see the lie here? It's not that easy to find if you relish the things of this world, but for the sake of the babes in Christ listening, I'm going to show you the lie. Satan shows Jesus the glory of all the kingdoms that he plans to give him if he bows in worship to him. What he isn't showing him are all the wars, the disease, the natural disasters, and other problems that will come forth from those kingdoms thanks to Satan's evil influence on the world that he rules. Yes, he will give you all the fun and enticing thing he offers, but he also gives the death and destruction with it, without warning you. This is why so many people dive into drugs and alcohol. Satan only shows the fun and never the disease. So, for him to show Jesus only the good and prosperous times in those kingdoms in the desert that day was actually a bold-faced lie about the gift he presented. Yes, there are good times in history, but there are also wars, disease, and disasters. And I mean, keeping that hidden from the offer he presented was to make the lie appear worth going for. I mean, the truth is, this very same lie has been repeated 6,000 years, and many men and women have accepted it with glee only to discover how deadly it can be. This is why Proverbs 14, verse 12 was penned that says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And I'm not going to go into any great detail on how some kings and queens and presidents of the past that have had many riches and conquered kingdoms destroyed their souls by bowing to such golden carrots, but I can step a little closer to home and illustrate how Satan used the exact same lie on a common man quite effectively, because I'm one of them. I'm just a guy like anybody else. I have met people in my life that have literally denounced Jesus as Lord so as to marry a Jewish woman. I don't forget that day when I talked to that man about his son. I've even seen people deny God's will in their lives so as to have lucrative careers with much wealth. And I've even seen some embrace the adulterous bed and walk away from their loved ones for the sake of a few fleeting moments of pleasure in the flesh. It's all about the lie. He doesn't tell you the consequences that come from these so-called fun things to do. I mean, some people actually bathe themselves in lies because that's all they know. And it literally grants them comfort and joy. I mean, take, for example, the alcoholic or the drug addict that believes the lie that the drink or the needle will make everything much better and all their problems will be gone. In some cases, the addiction can make it appear all is well for a while, but eventually the high dissipates and reality comes crashing in again, and so they clamor once again after the lie to forget the truth regarding their troubles. In fact, this kind of mindset was prophesied. Proverbs 23, verses 31 and 2 and 35, it says, "Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup." And by the way, science just figured out what the Lord meant when he said that through Solomon, about when it giveth its color in the cup. Wine actually changes its color when it goes into fermentation. So, and then when it moveth itself aright, going on, it says, "And at last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder," right? At the last, it doesn't say at the beginning. Oh, at the beginning, it's fun. Let's go for it. But at the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Anyone that's gotten DUI knows what I'm talking about there, right? Going on, it says, "They have stricken me." Now, this is the person that's drunk, right? Talking in the third person. It says, "They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." It's common knowledge. That's how it is. I've known many drunks. I've had for more than a few friends go to the grave due to alcohol and drugs. And when I would share with them the truth, they all agreed that, yeah, their lives are a mess and they wish they could escape their troubles and even quit drinking or doing the drugs. But even though they knew the alcohol, the drug was killing them, they clearly told me point blank they would still go after it because at least for a little while they could forget about the truth staring them in the face that says they're hell bound. You know, as many of you recall, I have been saying for at least the last few years now that lies have become the comfort zone for nearly every soul on earth today. I even call it the age of lying many times in some of my, you know, blog statements and videos. And if you know the truth as the remnant are prophesied to know it, you know this is an absolute fact for today's world. I mean, it's just normal to lie out there. I mean, look at how they, you know, like, for example, spam that comes in your email box or junk mail that comes in your mailbox outside your house. Open immediately. Time-sensitive material inside. You can save thousands, you know? You open it up, it's just some advertisement to buy some garbage. They use lies to get you to open up the envelope because that's what works for them, because that's what works for everyone. They're all embracing the lie. You're never going to see an envelope where they say, "Yeah, there's some kind of a sweepstakes going on here." Your odds are you're no way you're even going to win. But hey, open it up anyway. No one's going to open that up. I've known what it means for years deep in my heart about all this, but it's not something that can be easily explained. But I must try nonetheless when it comes to why they believe the lies instead of the truth. You know, when I was a small child, Hollywood was something I began to notice as a powerful means by which to entertain the mind and make it appear fun to partake in the imagination brought forth by the movie or whatever, right? I mean, we all checked it out. I remember seeing how when, especially in the later in the 80s and 90s, how some people would use a TV set to actually babysit their child. Ever notice what happens when you put a little kid in front of a TV? It doesn't matter what's on the screen. That kid will just like zone out and just be transfixed by that screen. There's a reason for that. And yes, even though some of the movies were very evil when I was growing up, we were free to watch them in what I thought was a religious household. What I mean is, when I was young, my father was very religious and very strict. Foul language or off-color humor was never allowed in our home, unless, of course, they had some kind of a party with the booze was out, and then it just flew all over the place. But even when his friends came around, he would sharply rebuke them if they stepped out of line. Later in my life, I tried to emulate his character by being the same way, where my children would be punished if I heard of them using foul language or telling dirty jokes. And yes, some of my friends had to be sharply rebuked for speaking badly before my loved ones, because some visited the shoe pull in my home from time to time. But like my father before me, when the TV was turned on and we all sat before it as a family to watch it, even if what we saw on TV, be it the movie or the commercials, even if it was vulgar, off color, and downright demonic, I allowed it because it was on TV. for some odd reason, even though neither I nor my father would ever allow such people to speak, to speak freely about such things in our homes before our children without being rebuked. Because it was on the TV, we deemed it was outside our control to stop it, so we let it. Yes, it was obvious how Satan worked this into all the lives of millions of people all around the world, well, billions now all around the world, using the TV, wherein no one could shout at the people on the TV or sharply rebuke them, because it would be nonsense to try. They can't hear you. We all knew it would do no good to shout at the TV because the people on the screen could not hear us, and since they couldn't, we could not stop them, we allowed them to do what we never would allow in our homes in the first place. Never did my father or I ever think to turn that TV off. Seriously, just hit the switch, turn it off. It wasn't until my wife and I found Jesus in the proper way that we actually removed the TV from our homes. When I was young, everyone, including myself, were raised with Hollywood coming off as something important, like an important part of life. I loved it when I would brag about talking about this actor or this actress or whatever. My dad would, he just, flip him off left and right, all the names of these actors and actresses. They glorified it in such a way. I mean, look at now with the celebrities. These people are professional liars. Seriously, that's the basic definition of an actor, is a professional liar. They're on screen doing something that they don't do in reality. And yet they get tens of millions of dollars to do it, sometimes hundreds of millions of dollars to do it. And then people worship them as they walk by, and they talk about them like some people trade baseball cards. By the time I got into my teens, I saw how the lies of Hollywood, music, and the novels took hold of everyone around me. And yes, it was all based on lies. Hollywood had nothing but lies on the screen with every movie as well as every sitcom, and so most people became very addicted to watching the movies and the TV shows. I know I did. The music was also very powerful to introduce lies. I recall how rock music, which by the way was allowed to be piped into the high school cafeteria and gymnasium whenever the students were in there that my wife and I went to school at. And those songs lied about all about our parents. I loved my parents very much, and especially my dad, but because the music I was listening to convinced me he was the enemy, I fell for it. And the fact most of my friends backed up the lies in the songs by saying that their parents were crazy to fit in, I agreed with them. And for a few years, my dad and I fought constantly. He was evil, even though he tried his best to make things right. He never did anything evil to me. I mean, he yelled a lot, but, I was an idiot. I wasn't listening. But as for the novels, I never liked to read until I picked up a computer magazine later in life and then a Bible later on further in life. And so I had no issue there with the reading thing, but I saw some of my friends and siblings affected in a major way by novels. They would lose themselves in the books and sit there for hours reading. In fact, my mother read at least 7 to 9 books a week. I kid you not, because I was the one who had to drive her to the library. And here's something strange. Even though later on, when the Star and the National Enquirer tabloids came out, and everyone knew it was just packed with lies, they got these pictures of aliens and stuff like that on the cover. And so, even though I didn't like to read, I wanted to read those tabloids. Because you guessed it, it was fun to listen to someone's imagination as to why they think some green guy was walking down Hollywood Boulevard. Lies became the norm and truth became boring. What many fail to realize is that by beholding such things, we become changed. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, like in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, when you start walking with Christ, you start acting like Christ, right? Well, so if by beholding that which the Lord presents changes us for the better, well, common sense dictates that by beholding what Satan presents changes us for the worse. For a reality check on that, read some of the articles wherein teenagers that shoot up schools admitted they got the idea to kill from their video games. And then before the video games, from Hollywood. I did a video on this 5 years ago, and praise the Lord, is still quite effective to this day to help some see the danger that they're in just from watching TV or listening to secular music or reading novels or just playing the violent video games. First of all, it's all based on lies. And yes, for those wondering, fiction is a lie. That's just the basic definition. And that means even a G-rated movie or a children's novel or some soft rock ballad is a tool of Satan himself, because Jesus clearly said in John 8:44 that Satan is a liar and the father of lies. That's why all liars are not allowed in heaven, because guess what? That is the first sin ever committed, even before Eden. Because he used lies in the Garden of Eden, too, to get Eve to take that fruit. But before Eden, he conned all, like one-third of the angels, to believe his lies over the truth. And this is why it's especially offensive to Christ and believers. I used to be pretty good at lying, or pretty bad at lying, however which way you want to look at it. And then when I found Christ, it became the most offensive thing to me, because I knew that is Satan's native tongue. You know what's really shocking about all this? Anyone with a smattering of truth with Bible in hand can prove everything I just said. If the person that is living in the lies will listen for just a moment, they will see that most people already believe some of the most ridiculous lies known to man. And when they see it for what it is, some actually walk away from it and embrace Jesus as they should. I mean, take the law of God, for example. In Titus, it was so clear to the early church back then that it was considered foolishness when anyone claimed that the Ten Commandments were abolished at the cross, that Paul literally says this to Titus in chapter 3, verse 9. He says, "But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain." I mean, back then it was laughable when someone said you didn't have to keep the Ten Commandments. It was just laughable because it was built into you. Christ said he put our law in our hearts, right? And so back then it was laughable because it's impossible. If you're a Christian, you have no choice. I mean, it's not that you don't want to have a choice. It's you want to please the Father and make him smile. But walking with Christ is like you just start laughing. You go, you really think you don't have to keep the Ten Commandments when the Holy Spirit in us helps us keep it? Are you kidding? The early Christian church was mostly Jews who left the synagogue, and so they knew about the importance of the law to begin with, too. But today, 2,000 years later, it's laughable by most when the obedient Christian says to them that you got to keep the Ten Commandments. Complete flip-flop. Or take Sunday Sabbath at most churches of today. There's not a single Bible verse from Genesis to Revelation to back it up. In fact, I have a list of all the major church denominations out there admitting, in writing, that there is no Bible verse to back up Sunday as the Sabbath. Better yet, I have literally hundreds of thousands of people that have visited a certain page on my website where I ask them to show me one single Bible verse that says Sunday is the Sabbath, and not one person, in fact, not even a single preacher, could show me that verse. And that page has been up since the site began. It's one of the oldest pages. That means they all know for a fact Sunday, Sabbath, is a lie. But since they are so comfortable living in the lies, the truth about the real Sabbath is laughable now. And even it upsets them. And so they refuse to keep the true Sabbath because in so doing, they may come off as Jesus freaks or fanatics or a cult, like they call us. Satan got them to actually believe another lie, that following Jesus is embarrassing to them. And they fell for it. But what did Paul say when they accused him of trusting the word of God over the church leaders? It says in Acts 24:14, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy," in other words, they're saying, "I'm preaching heresy," right? He says, "that which the way that they call heresy, so worship I, the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets." There are many lies that people claiming to be Christians trust as truth today. And yes, that too is prophesied to be this way in our day. It says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Do we not have the prophecies of the Bible match the historic records to prove that we are in the latter days? Yeah. If the prophecies are bogus, why are they doing exactly as the Bible said they would do? And think about this for a moment. If the doctrine you embrace cannot be found in the Bible, then the doctrine is from Satan, just as Paul prophesied when he wrote that letter to Timothy 2,000 years ago about the doctrines of the demons. But do you see any of those so-called Christians in the world leaving the Sunday-keeping churches that allow them to embrace that lie? Nope. Nary a one. Their leaders admit in writing, "Sunday is not the Sabbath," and I have that list on the site. Yet they still keep their doors wide open so that the pews are filled on Sunday. And no, it's not just about false doctrines that say the law is abolished or the liars that say we don't have to keep the Sabbath. which in and of itself is just so chalice, easy to expose. But they say we can no longer, or we no longer have to keep the law in general. So they just totally avoid the Sabbath day, right? But when you ask them if it's okay to blaspheme or murder or lie and steal, just to name a few, they say, no, that would be sin. But when you ask them if it's okay to break the seventh day Sabbath, that is also written in the exact same law that says it's sin to blaspheme, murder, lie, and steal, they say, oh, it's not sinful to break the Sabbath. They actually lie to themselves and don't realize they're doing it because they trust the lie over the blunt truth that they just admitted was truth. They said the Ten Commandments outline sin. But yet the fourth one isn't sin for some reason. And it's not just about the law that these demons have been manipulating. Take, for example, the state of the dead, where in the Old New Testament alike have tons of verses confirming when you die, you don't dream, you don't become a spirit, or you don't float strumming a harp on some cloud in heaven. And you don't fall to hell either when you die. I have a video on the webpage about this with all the verses that people would want if they need them. The biblical fact is, with the exception of a very small number specifically spoken of in the scriptures that were to go to heaven before us, no one goes to heaven until Jesus gets here to take his obedient bride to heaven at the second coming. And no one goes to hell until Jesus comes back to earth with us the third time at the end of the 1,000 years. That's clearly outlined in the scriptures as well, wherein his bride and the city itself descend from above and land on planet earth for all eternity at that time. He isn't on there for those 1,000 years like they're all lying about, too. That's another lie. They say there's going to be peace and safety for 1,000 years. Well, there's going to be peace, but that's only because they're laying around dying or dead. But most Christians and every card-carrying theologian out there says a blessed Christian goes straight to heaven at death, and the one slated for hell goes straight to hell at death. And not one of them have a Bible verse to back it up. Only lies. And everyone believes them instead of the God they claim to worship. I only got a little bit left to go. I know I'm going a little over here, and I apologize, but this is important. I've only got maybe 5-10 minutes left here. And I want to touch on that secret rapture thing too, because not in any big detail, but there's not a single Bible verse to back up a secret rapture. And yet countless billions, probably, I know millions, believe it to be the truth. I mean, many years ago, I made a page on the site showing every single Bible verse that speaks of the second coming from the Old to the New Testament. And none of these verses are ever spoken, never speak of the second coming being done in secret or even in silence for that matter. And in fact, it happens so boldly, the second coming, that every eye on the planet sees it happening. Because you can't mistake it. It's that bold and it's that loud. Yet, most trust the lie of the secret rapture as if it's truth because their pastors preach it as truth. Worse yet, their pastors specifically refuse to use the verses I posted on that page when speaking of the second coming because they know those verses expose their doctrine as being false. The verses are that blunt. But if you never read a Bible, you don't know your pastor or your Christian friend has just lied to you. You don't know it. And you can't possibly know it. And so you will naturally fall for any lie told you as long as that the liar that shares it does so in an effective manner. Or as Hitler's friend said in his day, a lie told often enough becomes the truth. And that's why they keep saying the lies we see in the mainstream media, everything from September 11th to Obamacare. There are so many easy-to-prove lies out there. Yet most people can't see them as lies because they have been indoctrinated to trust the lies over the truth thanks to Hollywood and the false preachers. And this is why good is evil and evil is good now. This is also why some people are never healed of disease, or they cannot quit smoking, or they cannot stop alcohol. When someone echoes Jesus, when he said the truth will set you free, they cannot grasp the truth is that simple. All their lives, the lie has told them that no one gets healed of any disease. Nicotine is too strong an addiction that no one can beat. And once you become an alcoholic, you're an alcoholic for life. This is why some Christians that have been delivered from alcohol decades ago still say that they're recovering alcoholics for the rest of their lives. They simply can't believe the truth how Jesus delivered them. Because everywhere they look, they see people claiming to be Christians, still struggling in addiction, and so they still believe the lie that they are alcoholics and prayer simply doesn't work. The lie becomes more believable to them than the truth that they themselves witnessed with their own eyes when Jesus delivered them. That's how confusing it's getting. That's how powerful Satan can be if you refuse to let Jesus be Lord of your life. In fact, just yesterday, or maybe the other day, was it yesterday? I posted a video wherein a new survey found that, yeah, I think it was yesterday, that half of Americans no longer believe in God. And this is why I've been saying we are in the age of lying for so long. Most today believe the lie because before the survey came out, many Americans already stopped in trusting God. They already stopped. And now, after the survey, we find half of those that were left also gave up on God. That being the case, the people have no recourse now but to trust the lies because now it's all they got. And the strangest mindset is also why we see the Pope declaring on camera last month that ISIS is nonviolent. Actually, I think he did it about 3 weeks ago. He and his dying God know that the majority of the people will believe him. Yes, hundreds of millions of people are going to think he's crazy because everybody knows how violent ISIS is, but he doesn't care about them. He's going to go for the big numbers. He knows billions will trust him because, think about it, there are already 1.2 billion Catholics who believe lies about Mary, Sunday Sabbath, eternal life in hell, the Eucharist, the infallibility of the popes, the doctrine of idol worship, and all the so-called holy days like Christmas and Easter. The popes of Rome now know they can get the people to believe any lie they spew now because they have historic evidence that confirms the people believed all their lies for literally centuries now anyway. And all of them would know them as lies if they just opened their Bibles. All the popes need to do is wait for the timing to be perfect for the next lie, because if they lie about something a bit too crazy, they're going to lose their grip on the people. So even though the reality is that ISIS is evil, he proclaims them nonviolent because society dictates timing is ripe. Now check this out, and I'm going to close with this. The founder of the Jesuit order once said, "We should always be ready to accept this principle. I will believe that the white that I see is black if the hierarchy of the church defines it as such." Ignatius Loyola said that. He's the leader of the Jesuit order. And that is exactly how the Christian church is today. This is also why society is like it is too, because we all know how much influence the Roman church has with everyday life, not just church life. Most people aren't even aware of all the lies they trust. But it is plain that the Bible clearly says in the Old Testament not to follow after the pagans of old in their strange ceremony and holidays or doctrines of demons and traditions of man, as the word says. Yet all Christian churches, including the Ninth Hour Church, which is the Seventh-day Adventist Church, celebrate the pagan Saturnalia festival renamed Christmas every year. And it was just renamed Christmas recently, a few hundred years ago. All right, and they celebrate the pagan Roman feast mentioned in the Bible as Easter. It was always called Easter or Eoster, however you want to pronounce it. And they embrace the satanic holiday of Halloween that's coming up. But did you notice? So do non-Christians believe all this thanks to Rome. You don't have to be a believer in Christ to believe this stuff. And even though the Bible says to keep the seventh-day Sabbath holy, they all keep Sunday holy. And just last year, the atheists started a church that keeps Sunday holy. Sure, they do it to mock Christians, but they are keeping the Roman Sabbath just the same. Rome somehow figured out a way to get them to do it too. The Bible says alcohol defiles the body. Most church says it's okay to drink. Every non-believer drinks regardless of the scientific facts it's killing them. The Bible says do not pierce or tattoo the body that God created for you. And yet most people are pierced and tattooed today, and some churches now have tattoo nights to get the pews filled up. And the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Yet abortion and doctor-assisted suicide is absolutely legal today in just about every nation on earth because the people believe that the white that they see is black, like the Jesuits predicted they would. Good is evil and evil is good. The lie has become the truth and the truth is now a lie. And again, I say, I can go on and on and on, but the reality has already written this sermon for me. The truth, as Jesus declares it, is eternal. The lies that Satan proclaims are temporary. The decision is yours. If you prefer the lies, then you will die with Satan in his prepared hellfire, because that's what he has prepared for him. But if you believe Jesus and his word, then you will follow Jesus and live for all eternity in the mansions that he prepared for you. I hope and pray that you are blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day.
to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rain righteousness upon you. So do yourself in righteousness. Reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is come and rain righteousness upon you.
So to yourself, reap in mercy, it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you.
To yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. It is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness.
Amen. Please kneel if you can. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the changing of the showbread on Sabbath day. Please bless the remainder of this day with your hand upon us, the hedge of angels all around us. Please bless this week ahead of us so that we can go forth and share our faith, even if it's only with just a smile when they expect a frown. I thank you so much, Father, for giving us this word that is eternal and never changes, and how truth can never fall to the ground. Thank you so much for opening it up to us and letting us understand it better. Please bless us with forgiveness, cleanse us from unrighteousness, and if we are worthy, please let the latter rain fall upon your Son's bride. And thank you for accepting this prayer. In the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.